No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. We're talking about tonight's contest, a 3-2 St. Louis Blues victory over the Winnipeg Jets. The deciding margin in the game coming in the shootout after Ryan O'Reilly scores for the Blues, and nobody is able to match his goal for the Winnipeg Jets. An entertaining contest, gentlemen. It's sort of fitting that it ends in the shootout and that Jordan Binnington doesn't give up any goals in the shootout, because frankly, he was the only reason the game went this far, as the Jets were the better of the two teams during regulation. And if it wasn't for the efforts of Jordan Binnington, this game probably doesn't go 65 minutes and then a shootout. Nice to see you both after a couple days away.
Yeah, what's up, boys? The reason why this was even allowed to go to the shootout, as you just mentioned, Drew, is Jordan Binnington. And, you know, before we get into the goals and break down the whole game here, I mean, I think there's a good chance that three players on that Blues team are going to be on Team Canada at the Olympics. Binnington obviously being one of them, and then Ryan O'Reilly and Colton Parayko being the other two. And then you mentioned that, Drew, that O'Reilly scores the goal in the shootout. I didn't even watch the shootout. You guys know, even though we're, 20 years into having the shootout in the NHL, I mean, for me, it's just, you might as well just flip a coin and then say heads or tails. But, you know, from the second period on, guys, like, I mean, the Jets controlled every single advanced statistic. The possession was just completely one-sided for the Jets here. And, you know, the save that stands out to me that was pretty ridiculous was the save that Binnington made on Mark Scheifele in close. He made the pad save and then obviously made a few other spectacular saves in this game. But if you're the Jets, you know, you have to be happy with the way you played. You're not happy with the fact that you weren't able to get the 2 points, especially a clean 2 points against a division rival. But clearly you were the better team for at least two thirds of the game. I mean, the overtime was obviously controlled by St. Louis guys. Like if the Jets did get a shot, I think it was only one shot on net.
When the Jets got one shot on net in the overtime, when they controlled the opening faceoff, and not coincidentally, that was the only faceoff they won in overtime.
Right.
Dubois came in, got that shot on goal. But after that, after the Jets got the opening shot in overtime, the rest of the overtime was 9-0 shots on goal for the St. Louis Blues, simply because they had the puck for the entirety of the overtime.
Right. And I mean, they had to have a response after that second period where the Jets outshot them. I think it was 16-5 or something like that. So, I mean, the Blues had to come out in the third period with a better effort. And I really thought the refs guys were really letting, like, it seemed like the refs were in playoff mode, right? Like, you know, like there were trips and there were just seemed like there were a bunch of missed calls, especially, you know, in the second half of that game. But, you know, look at, I think if this game is any indication, guys, I mean, the Jets-Blues battles throughout the year are going to be, you know, incredible. Like, we expect these two teams to be battling it out, you know, for one of those top spots in the Central. I think the Colorado Avalanche are going to eventually emerge and have something to say about it. But right now,
like, time.
Right. And these are the two best teams in the league, right? Like, the Blues score a lot of goals. They don't give up a lot of goals. Yeah. You know, they're top five, both in power play and penalty kill. Like, this Blues team is not a joke. And Jordan Kyrou is a guy that I don't think a lot of, you know, hockey fans necessarily knew about a few years ago, but you see him in overtime. And I mean, he's just as skilled as guys like Ehlers and Connor, right? And Pavel Buchnevich, obviously, you know, had a great game. So, I mean, overall, I mean, you'd be nitpicking. And if you were to say that, you know, the Jets weren't looking like the better team, but it was just one of those games where Jordan Binnington was the difference. He made, you know, saves when he needed to. Some of them were pretty ridiculous. But overall, I really liked the way the Jets played, and they definitely deserved 2 points in this one.
Dave Manuk, you are in the building for the vast majority of tonight's contest. What were your observations from high above the ice surface?
Well, I would suggest that Jordan Binnington was, if it wasn't for him, the score is 5-0. I mean, that he was definitely the difference. The first period was bizarre. Neither team really had much going.
Yeah, a lot of fighting the puck, it seemed like, in that first period.
Yeah, It was fairly chaotic. I mean, it just wasn't anything. It was certainly not entertaining by any stretch of the imagination. Hellebuyck beat a little bit weak on the five-hole goal. I mean, you don't want to give the Blues a power play. I was looking up their power play, second in the NHL. The crazy part is then I was looking up and I was like, so they're second and they're at 30%, which would have been higher after that goal. Then I'm looking up at the Oilers at number one at 50%. So
home and home between the Jets and the Oilers next week.
Yeah, no, I know. And that people are looking forward to that. It'll be fun. But anyways, before we even start, we should let everyone know we did unblock
the guy that we accidentally blocked on Saturday.
And he actually started the chat off like, you know, during the game was still on. He goes, am I still blocked? To which I responded, no, you're not blocked. So good to know that we were able to unblock the person who should have been unblocked and keep everybody else blocked. So if case people were worried, he has been unblocked and he is free to participate in the illegal curve chat. Anyways, back to the game.
In case it was keeping anybody up all weekend long.
Yeah, yeah. In case you're worried.
I wasn't on the show Saturday night, so I have absolutely no idea what you guys are talking about. But
yeah, we may have had a spammer. So as Drew, in his haste to try and block, said it's spammer. Well, it was your fault, Drew. I mean, it's your fault, not mine. So in your haste to block the spammer, Drew
inadvertently
that's fine. Well, as you know, I'll do the show. He inadvertently blocked one of our subscribers. Very rude. But thankfully, Drew cleaned up his own mistake and he unblocked said subscriber. So we're good. Anyways, back to the game. So, the first period was just kind of boring hockey. And the second, it was like a different Jets team, right? They outshot him 7-0 to or 8-0 to start. And then it was 9-1. And you could just feel like they had the momentum. It's set, with the exception of, you know, Binnington. Like I said, that period is all Jets. They deserve, you know, all the chances they generated. And there were a lot of them. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, he looked, you know, strong again, going to the driving towards the net. You know, Kyle Connor scores his ninth goal, team-leading ninth goal of the season. Blake Wheeler gets his 700th franchise point with that assist. You know, and there's some things, like I said, it's one of those periods you're like, okay, are the Jets going to be able to, you know, capitalize on all their chances? And again, they didn't, but they really looked good in that second period, and they looked good to start the third again. You know, unfortunately for them, they weren't able to hold on to that lead, but you know, it looked promising. But if you're St. Louis, knowing that you're in the game and it's 2-2, you got to be feeling good about yourself, because realistically, before the overtime began, what did O'Reilly do? What did Tarasenko do?
The only players.
Parayko was the only guy who was. Binnington was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I thought Parayko was good.
And I would say Buchnevich and Kyrou were the best forwards on the ice. Buchnevich and Kyrou were the best forwards on the ice for the Blues tonight. But to your point, Dave, I would agree with you that, I mean, you know, Tarasenko, O'Reilly, those guys were not particularly noticeable in tonight's contest. The overtime was a separate ball of wax, of course, given the, you know, the 3-on-3 and the importance of possessing the puck for the entirety of the overtime. But you know, during regulation, the Jets, I think you said the same thing, or as you said the same thing, the Jets have to be pretty pleased with how they performed. I mean, they get, you know, the first goal. You don't like, Hellebuyck doesn't like that goal. That's not a, you know, I know it comes on the power play, but there's very little about that that is a power play goal in the traditional sense of it. There's no setup of the power play. It was just a bad goal that Hellebuyck usually doesn't let in. But the Jets, you know, certainly didn't chase the game at all in their efforts to try and tie it up. And for a while there, it looked like they weren't even going to be able to tie it up. Binnington was sort of making save after save after save, but the Jets were just, they weren't chasing, they weren't cheating the game, to, you know, use a phrase that Paul Maurice often uses. The Jets were just very consistent with their play, and they were really taking it to the St. Louis Blues. And that in and of itself has to be a confidence boost. And that's why this Jets team, I think, is playing pretty good hockey. They're not, you know, they know, or they're quickly learning that if they play their game as they usually have been doing over since at least the opening road trip, they're going to be in and or victorious in the majority of the games that they play. And that's what you saw tonight. They just kept, you know, rolling line after line after line at the Blues, and the Blues were on their heels. And eventually the Jets obviously took the 2-1 lead. And then, you know, a very nice play by Buchnevich to find Kyrou to tie it up. But, you know, aside from that, the Blues certainly didn't have a lot of zone time. They didn't have a lot of pressure on Connor Hellebuck. So, you know, would you like him to make another save or two? Yeah, probably. Sure. You know, so that the game doesn't go to overtime. But I think ultimately the Jets are relatively pleased with their performance tonight, Dazzy.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Drew. I think, you know, you summed it up really well there. And, you know, I think that one player that I'd like to mention right now that I thought had maybe his best game of the year, obviously he's missed some games, is Blake Wheeler. Like Dave talked about Kyle Connor's goal, and obviously, you know, it was a nice little goal, but, you know, great pass by Wheeler. And I just thought, like, all game, you know, and he's criticized a lot, right? Like, and you know, we have been no different than anybody else. But, you know, when you consider that, you know, he's been quote unquote demoted down to the third line, and we wouldn't be surprised if he's back up in the top six. I mean, I think Wheeler showed that, you know, he can have that type of effort from start to finish in a game. And, you know, he just looked really sharp and special teams. You know, he was, didn't really, you know, get as maybe as much time as he would like, but I thought he was really good. And I thought Mark Scheifele was really good. And I mean, yeah, we know these guys are still looking for their first goals of the year, right? So I thought, you know, the Dubois-Connor-Svechnikov line continued to be really good. You know, I really liked, you know, Josh Morrissey and Nate Schmidt's game. And I agree with you, Drew, even though the first goal was not a goal that Hellebuck is going to like going through his legs. And it was a sharp angle, so we'll give him, you know, a little bit of slack. And also, he happens to be one of the best goalies in the NHL. So we'll give him a little bit of slack because of that, right, boys? But, I mean, it was one of those goals where, you know, it's just, I think, rust. And not Brian Rust of the Penguins, but just Rust, because Hellebuck hasn't played in a little while. So, I mean, you know, if two goals is you know, a quote-unquote bad game for Hellebuck, I'm sure he's going to have a good response on Thursday night. So, mm-hmm. You know, overall, again, sometimes you deserve to win, you know, on the deserve-a-win meter. And yeah. they didn't get the win because Binnington was the difference. Sometimes you have to just, you know, call it like it is. And how many times, guys, over the years have we seen Hellebuck do that to other teams, right? So Binnington did it. And, you know, that could be a Canada versus, you know, USA starting goalie matchup right there, depending on what Carey Price has to say about it. But overall, yeah, I think they're clearly, you know, a faster team. And, you know, I looked at that, you know, Blues back end, and you know, we have to mention, you know, they have been dealing with, you know, COVID issues. Ryan O'Reilly is back in the lineup with COVID, but Torrey Krug was out of the lineup. They thought Kelly Rosen and Robert Bartuzzo, like, you could tell, like, that line, especially when they were up against the Dubois Connor Svechnikov line, I mean, that's just a slower group. So I think the speed was the key, and then they exposed the Blues.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Jets won the battles, the matchups on the ice that they're supposed to win, Dave. As he mentioned that, you know, he thought Blake Wheeler played the best game that he's played this season, I would agree. I thought Mark Scheifele certainly played probably his best game of the year, in that he was noticeable. And that line, the Scheifele-Wheeler-Lowry line, really was a force. They were a force that the Blues did not have an answer for. There were a couple of shifts that the Jets just controlled the play, you know, below the goal line, and just recycling, even able to get, you know, a fulsome line change. And that's what you want to see from this Winnipeg Jets team. And I know we're, what are we now, 12 games into the season, and they're 6-3-3 on the season. But, you know, there's way more good than bad right now with this Winnipeg Jets team after the slow start to the year. You know, that's, there's no reason why they're thinking that they can't play with any of the top teams in the league. I mean, these last two games, Saturday night against the Islanders and tonight against the Blues, were their, what I'm going to say, were their real toughest tests so far this year. And they certainly proved, I mean, maybe less so on Saturday, but more so tonight, they certainly proved that they belong in that conversation with the, if not the best couple teams in the league, but then that wave that is one step behind them and then able to move up into that upper echelon. You know, there's very little about the Jets game tonight that I don't think you would, that you would not say should be replicated more often than not, Dave.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point, Drew. And I think, you know, this was the tough test for the Jets, right? We knew that, you know, coming in, the Islanders were going to be a tough test, and you knew St. Louis was going to be a tough test. And as he's right, they were missing guys. There's no question about it. But, you know, at the same time, you had all the question marks with the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. Coming into the game, Mark Scheifele, is he playing? Nikolaj Ehlers, is he playing? Paul Stastny, obviously he didn't play. And Connor Hellebuck, We knew he was back practicing yesterday, but was he going to be ready to go? And so we got the answers, obviously. But Paul Maurice, in his availability today, essentially said he wasn't 100%. You know, Mark Scheifele wanted to go because every hockey player wants to play. Nobody wants to sit out. Yeah. So I think that was, you know, I think that's, you know, definitely a function of it, is that, you know, that's an effort you're happy about. That, you know, again, you're not going to get every goal. The one thing I thought I liked from the Jets was when they gave up the game tying goal in the third period, they had a really good shift the next one and they pushed back hard. And oftentimes with the Jets, you see a little bit of a sag in their game when they give up that goal and all of a sudden it's fragile. And I actually liked what they did because they actually kept pushing at St. Louis. And again, Binnington was very good. So he was able to prevent what was happening. But at the same time, I thought that was a very good response from the Jets. You don't have reward for it, so you don't get that good feeling. But you still, if you're the coaching staff, you're happy to see that your team didn't sit back and say, okay, well, we're going to play for overtime. You pushed hard to try and get that game-winning goal because you probably feel like, you know, you're in the dressing room and you're thinking, we deserve those 2 points.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And if it sticks in your craw and it leaves a sour taste in your mouth, all the better. You can take out your revenge on Thursday night against the San Jose Sharks. Because again, you now have two straight games against the Sharks and then the Kings on Saturday that are on the weaker side of the ledger when it comes to the teams you're facing. Before, as I mentioned, you have the big home and home with the Oilers next week, which is another sort of barometer test for your team. And, you know, and obviously a rematch since the playoffs last year. So, I mean, this is, you know, the Jets are beginning to sort of get into the flow of the season. It's been a little disjointed, I would say, the start of the year because of the COVID issues. You really haven't, you know, the 11-7 for the lengthy period of time, which went away for tonight's game back to 12-6. And now you're beginning, you know, assume Paul Stastny's not out of the lineup for a lengthy period of time. And Paul Maurice said he didn't expect it to be a lengthy period of time. You're beginning to maybe see this Jets team at full strength, what they're going to potentially look like. And be able to get that chemistry together and everything else. And really, that's, I think, something people are excited to see because a lot of what they've seen so far this year is appealing, you know, in terms of the results and in terms of what could be for the future, Ezzy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it goes back to what we said before, guys, like, you know, if you like advanced statistics, like the Corsi 4 for the Jets, the team Corsi 4 in the second period was like 75%, right?
Well, the whole game, the Jets Corsi in the whole game was 62.4% against the Blues 37.6%. And that's 5-on-5. I mean, that is, that's one side.
Well,
that
most of the game was at 5-on-5, right? So well, like, of course, yeah, like, but, you know, you
high danger chances. And, sorry, Ezzy, high danger chances. Yeah. This one is this is an astronomical number, not even just scoring chances, high danger chances. The St. Louis Blues had 6 high danger chances. So the Jets obviously did a great job at suppressing. How many do you think the Jets were credited with? I don't know if you've got natural.
Well, natural stat trick up 19.
14?
Not 19, Dave. 19 high danger chances to 6 for the St. Louis Blues. The expected goals, 3.65 for the Jets, 1.16 for the Blues. Oftentimes, in the last couple of years, the Jets have been on the other side of that ledger. Yeah. This time, they were the dominant force. And it's not like they were a dominant force against a nothing team. Nope. They were a dominant force against the St. Louis Blues team that is currently towards the top of the Central Division and considers itself, you know, to be in that, you know, echelon of teams that, you know, have Stanley Cup aspirations. You know, again, way more good from tonight's game than bad for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
And that's probably the message Paul Maurice has to the team, and the team themselves probably knows that, but then they can also sort of chew on the fact that they didn't get the 2 points, and that can maybe use that as a bit of a motivator.
That's the type of game, guys. Like if that's a 7-game series and the Jets play like that for the majority of the 7-game series, the Jets are going to win that series, right? Like if you play that game, you know, 10 times, the Jets are going to win that game, you know, 7 or 8 times. And so, you know, you can't be too critical of, you know, really much that happened in that game because maybe the finish wasn't there. Like, you know, there's a few people, you know, in the chat that are talking about, you know, Blake Wheeler's finish and everything like that. Like, I don't know, like you go back and I don't know what else.
He's not finished. He's American.
Exactly, Dave. But you know, another guy.
You know, for a guy who doesn't have kids, that's a very dad joke right there, Dave.
Yeah, no, I like that. It was good timing. Timing is everything, Drew. You know that with comedy. Another guy I wanted to point out, guys, that you know we haven't really talked about a lot, I guess, you know, really lately, but tonight I don't think we've mentioned him, who I thought was pretty strong, you know, in a role that he hasn't been in much this year, is Jansen Harkins, right? Up with Kopp and Ehlers, right? So, you know, I thought Harkins was doing a good job. You know, he was just working. Like he was out there, you know, he was using his body. Harkins is a guy, like Dave knows this, like a lot of people don't think of him as a big guy, but he's a big boy. And I thought he was kind of getting a little bit greasy and, you know, trying to get to that net. And Ehlers obviously, you know, led the team in shots with 5 or 6, I believe. So, I mean, you know, that line was pretty good. And overall, like when you can't really say, you know, that a player had a bad game or many players on the Jets had a bad game, you know, that, you know, they deserve to win. So let's just give Binnington a lot of credit. I mean, he's done that to the Jets many times before. You go back to 2019, right, guys? He was pretty good in that first round series against the Jets. So that was the difference. But I think that you like, you know, the way Wheeler played. I mean, you like the way that Hellebuck played, maybe minus that, you know, first goal that was scored on him by Buchnevich. And, you know, so let's just not really get too excited about this one. This is a division rival, and this is meeting 1 of 4. And I think the Jets and Blues are going to have lots of good battles all year long.
I would agree with that. You mentioned shots on goal. The Jets were led in shots on goal by Nikolai Ehlers. He had 6. Wheeler had 5, though, you know, talking about how this was suddenly his most noticeable game of the season. This is the first game where you sort of thought that, I mean, he's not going to be the Blake Wheeler who was more than a point a game player anymore. I think that the ship has sailed on that. But he certainly was an asset to the Jets as opposed to a detriment. You know, but as you said, Ezzy, people tend to enjoy criticizing Mr. Wheeler a little bit. And that's fair because that's sometimes it's completely warranted. But, you know, look, I liked the Scheifele Lowry Wheeler line. I don't know how much longer it's going to continue with it. I don't know how much longer until Scheifele gets moved back up, but you know, Paul Maurice, you thought that maybe today would be the day that he would move Scheifele up, you know, with Paul Stastny not being in the lineup, but he elected not to. He elected to move, you know, keep Andrew Kopp in the middle there, and he elected to go with Jansen Harkins in the elevated role. And you know, it certainly worked for the Jets in that they were impressive, that they performed well, and so I think Paul Maurice is, for the time being, at least, you know, barring any more injuries or anything, it seems to be sticking with that Scheifele, Lowry, Wheeler line. Is that a way to try and get Blake Wheeler going more? Is it a way to?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be his logic behind it. That Wheeler and Scheifele have made such great chemistry and have made such great music for so many years, Dave. That he figures. Yeah, lots of hits. That he figures you can keep that trio together in a ostensibly third line role, and you know he's okay with that. You know, because the first and second lines are performing certainly more than admirably without Scheifele up higher in the lineup, Dave.
Yeah, I mean that's what we've called for a long time with this Jets team, is to have a top nine. You don't want to go back to where you're overloading. You know, obviously, occasionally if you need the firepower, then you can overload the lines, but you know, the Jets probably are best served by rolling 3 and having those guys. And you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor were creating again. Evgeny Svechnikov, he was as well. He got lucky, actually, because when he got that tripping penalty in the first, he very easily could have had a...
he fired the
puck. An unsportsmanlike, because he was not happy with the call. But, you know, like I said, it was one of those... It was an Klim Kostin and Logan Stanley seemed to have something going. I know Stanley caught him with his... with his skate in that period, but at least it looked like a skate from the press box. I couldn't see; they didn't show a replay.
It was a skate based on what the broadcast was saying. Yeah. It was a skate.
That's what it looked like in the rink as well, and happened right below where I sat in the press box. So, anyways, I just thought it was an interesting, you know, battle we saw throughout the course of the game, and then in the first period, those guys were going at each other. So, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, if you're a Jets team that is. You know, there's things you're not going to love. You know, the overtime wasn't terrific by any stretch of the imagination. But
as Nicole Jay is putting on the screen there,
yeah. Weber asked Blake Wheeler, "What did you see in overtime?" Wheeler, nothing. He's not wrong. So anyways, it was nothing to write home about, but you know, that's the way it goes. And the shootout is it's Ezzie's least favorite thing. He's been ready to get rid of it for 20 years. Ever since scored the one for the Rangers in the 14th round. Was it Merrick Malik or whatever?
It was. Yep.
Yeah. In the 14th round. Dave. Yep. And so I'm pretty sure that was the last time the shootout was exciting and unique. And as a result, as he's been ready to get rid of it for 20 years, but
it's here. Yeah, to
I
mean,
I agree, but anyways, you know what, look, and Connor Hellebuyck wasn't as sharp as he could have been, but he had to make some early, he did make some decent saves in the game, but you know, that's one of those, he hasn't played since October 30th. I mean, that's the, one of the, if you remember back to the preseason, when we were talking about, Hellebuyck, we were talking about him playing like 70 games this year, you know, and now because of obviously what happened, he's lost a few with Eric Comrie having played four, probably three more than he would have likely played to this point. So, you know, Connor Hellebuyck, obviously new father, dealing with illness, first time back on the ice. So for him, decent start, but to your point earlier, Drew, you're likely to see a much better effort against the Sharks on Thursday. And overall, you know, you're, like I said, you're not going to be terribly pleased with the overtime, but for at least 40 minutes, I would think, or for most of that game, you're happy with the effort from the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, you know, you look at the time on ice in tonight's game, and, you know, Christian Vesalainen only played 5.5 minutes, and Riley Nash played,
8, play 19. And PK time, though, for Nash.
Well, I mean, Riley Nash played 8:19, and that included 2:08 in power play, only 25 seconds on shorthanded. So, I mean, is the 11-7 dead? Is it completely dead, or do you think the Jets might resurrect it, given how little Christian Vesalainen played in tonight's game, and Riley Nash still somehow maintains a spot on the power play for the Jets, which is, I know you don't have Stasny, but it's still... It still sounds bizarre just leaving my mouth, you know, and tonight there were, I mean, did the Jets have, how many power play opportunities did the Jets have tonight? Was it just the one? I mean, very few penalties in tonight's game.
It was one.
Sorry. It was the too many men.
Two.
The Jets had two. And the Jets had two and the Blues had one. So the to Ezzie's point earlier in the post game show, you know, there were certainly not very many whistles from the officials in tonight's contest.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a good question that you bring up, Drew, about the 11-7, right? Like before the season started, I don't think anybody had the Jets as one of those teams that was going to regularly use 7-11. But with, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler out with COVID, and you know, different players kind of moving up and down the lineup, I think we know why that's happened. So, it's kind of hard to say with certainty that Maurice will go back to that. But yeah, if you're only going to run, you know, your fourth line 5, 6, 7 minutes. In a game in which, you know, there are very few power plays, you kind of wonder if, you know, Maurice could pull that out of his pocket and put Nate Beaulieu back in the lineup. But, you know, I thought even in, you know, 5 minutes of ice time, which is tough for any player, you know, I thought Vesalainen was definitely noticeable. You could see him using a little bit of his speed. I forget if he had any shots on net, but obviously, you know, he was with the Moose for the last, what was it, 2 games, Dave, or he was with the Moose for 3 games. So
he had one shot on goal, is he?
There you go. I missed the first period. I was putting my kids to bed as usual. You guys know that 6:30 to 7:30 is go time in the Ginsburg home.
That's Ezzie's magic hour.
Well, and it seems like the first period was the one to miss, right? Because as Dave said, not much was going on in that first period for either team. But I'll be really curious. You know, you mentioned, Drew, I think if there's one line that we expect to stay together with, you know, 100% absolute certainty, it would be Connor, Dubois, and Svechnikov. But you know, when you're talking about, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler and Lowry, you know, you wonder if, you know, that move is made to reunite Scheifele with Kopp and Ehlers. That's the big one that we're waiting for, right? It's only a matter of time, you know, before Scheifele, you know, reclaims his number one center spot. So that's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, all things considered, guys, like, you know, the Jets are playing consistent and they're continuing, you know, what they did towards the end of that road trip coming back home. So, you know, you're not happy with the way the third period unfolded and the fact that you weren't able to get a few more goals, especially in the middle frame. But, you know, I really think that, you know, you in a game like this, even though it is a results business, I think overall, like you're probably giving yourself an A, you know, in this game. The only thing that wasn't there was the extra point.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're right. I mean, it's sometimes it's just that it's sometimes your analysis can be as simple as the fact that the other goaltender was better than your goaltender, and he's the reason that your team made it all the way through to the, you know, overtime and then the shootout. And, you know, certainly Hellebuck was, you know, decent in the shootout, only giving up the one goal. But look, Binnington deserves all the credit that he gets. He's in, so, you know, I don't even know if he's underrated. It's just, you know, people, I think, still think of him as a flash in the pan from when he obviously went on the incredible run to win them the Stanley Cup, but he certainly solidified as a top 10 goaltender in the NHL. It just, he doesn't seem to, for whatever reason, get, I think, the credit as some of the other better goaltenders get for, I don't know why that is necessarily. Maybe to your point, Ezzy, if he's Canada's starting goaltender at the Olympics, he'll get more credit for what he's done in his career.
He's at the very least, Drew, one of the three goalies, right? Like there's other goalies that are going to factor in. Like I you know, have a soft spot for a guy like Darcy Kemper, but like, you know, Carey Price is a guy that, you know, I mean, if Carey Price is doing well and, you know, he's ready to go, I think it's going to be hard to not have him as one of the three goalies. But you're right. I think, you know, Binnington, let's not get too carried away, right? Like, he almost won the Conn Smythe trophy when the Blues won the cup. So I think the last couple of years, let's be honest, have not been, you know, his best 2 years as a pro goaltender. But you're right. I mean, he's not kind of mentioned, you know, with Hellebuck and Vasilevsky, and I guess he'd throw in, you know, I guess Philip Grubauer, you know, some of the elite goaltenders. But, you know, he's absolutely, you know, a top 10 goalie, you know, however you want to rank him. So he was the difference. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, the game at a macro level, I think, you know, the speed was apparent, the skill was apparent, the ice was tilted, you know, the Jets controlled play for probably 80 to 90% of this game. And, you know, Binnington made some big saves, you know, they didn't, and get enough past him, and you know, that's really the story.
Yeah, certainly worth his weight in gold for the St. Louis Blues tonight, who take tonight's victory by a 3-2 margin in the shootout. They win the shootout 1-0. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're gonna give away some prizes. Okay,
Dave, I agree with Phyllis. We got everyone watching. Where are the thumbs up, people?
You gotta smash that like button, folks.
Phyllis is like our thumbs up like monitor. Like, she makes sure that, you know, if you're in the chat, like, it's like, if you're in the hall, you better get to class, right? Phyllis is letting everyone know, like, if you're in the chat, hit that like button. I love it, Phyllis. See?
And because of that, Rob says, thanks, Phyllis. I forgot again. So come on, people. Kick that illegal curve algorithm up by smashing the like button. So while Drew is sending us to break, you send us the likes.
There you go. Exactly right. Smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way you get alerted each and every time we go live. We'll be live again Thursday night for the post-game show after the Jets and the Kings. But we have much more on this post-game show still to come, including some giveaways, undoubtedly. So stick with us. Let's pay some bills. But we'll be back on the other side for more talk of tonight's Jets-St. Louis Blues matchup. Dave Minuk's in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed two fresh Bagelsmith bagels with schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy, let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carleton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Boston Pizza, the perfect place for a drink, or the new pickle pizza. Across from this guy, who's getting his fill of some classic cactus-cut nachos. Next to some hockey fans that just saw a nasty OT winner. Boston Pizza. Enjoy some... What? Look at that guy. Just having a soak, eh? Eh, you do you. Enjoy some old fall favorites and some new ones, however you like, at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Approaching the bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. I am your host, Drew Mandel. Nice to see so many of you joining us on this Tuesday evening. We'll be back at it on Thursday night after the Jets and the San Jose Sharks. Last sort of two games upcoming that were in that soft part of the Jets schedule, because it certainly picks up. Well, it picked up tonight against a very good St. Louis Blues team, and it picks up next week when you got the home and home with the Edmonton Oilers and their dynamic Mr. McDavid. But I think everybody's looking forward to seeing them and seeing that rivalry renewed after the entertaining playoff series of last year.
Like, Drew, was that, sorry to cut you off. Like, no, was that one of the nicest goals ever? Like,
I think so.
That was basically an unreal, like it was like a supernatural goal, right? Like going through four different New York Rangers players, like just absolutely incredible. And the thing is, like, you could ask the question, right? Like, why should we be surprised? Like, clearly McDavid is the best player in the league. He's the best forward. He's the best everything. By the time his career's over, like, we might be talking about, you know, him being one of the greatest hockey players of all time. But he just continues to amaze, right? So I agree with you. I'm really looking forward to those two Jets-Oilers games.
Well, I mean, all you have to say, Ezzy, I mean, you know why it's such an incredible goal? It's because you didn't even have to say anything else about what goal you were talking about. Everyone knew about the goal because they couldn't believe what they were watching when they saw it, Dave. And good luck to the Jets for trying to have to slow down Connor McDavid, because, I mean, it's not like he walked through a team of scrubs. I mean, he walked through some pretty good players on the New York Rangers to do
including
that.
A former Jet.
Yeah, I mean, it's good luck. I don't even know where you begin to try and slow him down, and that's what every team in the league
is saying. Neil Pionk is licking his chops, ready for the challenge.
You mean Neil Savard, Dave?
That was quite Pionky Spinorama.
That was a very nifty move that he made at the blue line to get the Jets on the scoreboard in tonight's game. Certainly a risky move, because if he loses control of that puck, then, you know, he's the last man back. So the Blues player would probably have a bit of a break opportunity. But Neil Pionk, you know, pulled off the move, and he got the puck towards the net, and he got a fortuitous bounce, obviously. But that, you know, to that point in time, the Jets really hadn't had a ton of traffic in front of Jordan Binnington. And that was almost like the, not the turning point, because it wasn't a turning point, but it was a sign that the Jets knew what they needed to do, which was make life a little bit more difficult for Binnington. And they did, and they got rewarded for it. And then, of course, Kyle Connor made it 2-1, and the Jets just couldn't get that, you know, insurance marker past him. And they certainly had the opportunities. You go look back, you think about Mark Scheifele. How many times, chances?
The one in the second period was ridiculous, where he stopped Scheifele with his blocker. He lost his stick.
And no stick. And yeah. I mean, it was.
Right, Dave's story. I said earlier, it was a pad. It was a blocker. Like that, that should have been, especially with, you know, the way Scheifele buries the puck. Like that's going to be a goal 9 out of 10 times, right? Like if he, you know, raises a little bit, it was incredible. And, you know, that's why I said, you know, Scheifele probably had flashbacks to 2019, right? When Binnington was just absolutely robbing them, left and right.
And even in the pass from Wheeler over to Pionk on that 2-on-1 where Pionk goes around Binnington, he just can't curl it into the net. Yep. I mean, that was an open net, and he, if he buries it, you know, changes potentially the dynamic of the game. So, you know, the one thing the Jets did do a little bit better, I thought, was, Drew, to your point, the shots, a lot of them, he was seeing them. So, I mean, the Jets outshot him like 17-5 in the second, but a lot of the shots were harmless. Like, I mean, he's having no problems making, you know, 90% of those saves because he was seeing them. And once they finally started to get bodies in front, and that's when you had a bit of a benefit, and that's when Pionk was able to kind of turn the table. So, fun fact, by the way, from the game, Kyle Connor, who was in a three-way tie with Andrew Ladd and Nikolaj Ehlers for seventh on the all-time scoring list, who's into a tie with one player in sixth spot with 140 goals. Who's that one player?
Are we talking about ex-Thrashers?
No.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I knew that he wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
Let's see if the chat knows.
So who is Kyle Connor now tied in sixth spot with?
Yeah.
Well, Justin says Patrick Laine.
And Justin would be right.
Well, there you go. There you go. Congratulations to Justin. Oh,
Jason.
Isn't that crazy, Dave? He's 23 years old.
Yeah, I know.
He's a talented goal scorer. I mean, you know, it's that simple, is that he's a world-class goal scorer who may not get the credit necessarily, but he is a world-class goal scorer. And you saw him. I mean, you saw the patience he had tonight to you know, sort of wait out Binnington and roof the puck, you know, in a spot where even Binnington, who was, you know, when he was unconscious, that's funny. So Michael Rowling said Eric Tangrady, which is another blast from the past right there. But, you know, look, Kyle Connor deserves all the credit. All the credit. Sorry, I got the hiccups now. Gets the credit, and he's a tremendous goal scorer. And the Jets are going to need that on Thursday night as they play the San Jose Sharks. And the Jets probably are looking to, you know, not have an easy game of it, but they're looking to replicate their tonight's quality. Because the last time they played the San Jose Sharks, you remember on that Saturday night a couple weeks ago, where the Sharks were decimated. They were really playing the Barracudas. Because the Sharks were decimated with COVID and the game started 30 minutes late and the Jets really didn't show up to play in that game. So, you know, that they're probably thinking about it as they get ready for Thursday night's contest or when they get back on the ice tomorrow and they start their preparations, they're probably thinking we need a better showing because of what San Jose has done to us a couple times already this year. You know, the Jets are looking for, we're certainly looking to get the bad taste out of their mouth and get a better result than what they've had so far against the San Jose Sharks.
It's pretty ridiculous as Dave tries to get the fireplace back on his flat screen TV behind him there. I mean, it's pretty incredible, guys, that, you know, the Jets are second place in the Central, three back of St. Louis. What's their record now? They're 6-3-3, if I'm not mistaken.
6-3-3. You're right.
And two of those losses are against San Jose, right? Like, it's pretty ridiculous if you think about it, right? It's just not what you would, if you were to write this up, like it just doesn't add up, right? But you're right, Drew. I mean, even with, you know, all the players that have been out of the lineup, you got to give the Sharks credit. I mean, they're playing the role of spoiler. They know the expectations are low for them this year. And they've kind of been that team that, you know, has just been the kind of, annoying pest for the Jets. So you're right. And if you think about it, guys, like, you know, four games into the seven-game homestand, the only game where you would say that, you know, wasn't what we've come to expect from this Jets team is maybe the Islanders game. I'm not saying that the Jets played poorly, but they just ran into a team that suppresses shots and is very good defensively. Ilya Sorokin is obviously, you know, a top goaltender, even though he's, still in, you know, the early years of his career here. But, I think you aren't concerned, I think, about a lot when you're talking about the Jets. I mean, we know that there have been defensive miscues in their own zone, and we know that there are certain players that, you know, you want to get going offensively. But, you know, we talked about it here, guys, like 17-5 were the shots in the second period. In the third period was also controlled by the Jets for the most part. So I would expect the Jets to probably hammer the Sharks on Thursday night.
I certainly think that they know if they play like they played tonight, then they're going to be in a good position come Thursday night and then Saturday night again, the LA Kings back in town to face the Jets. It's amazing how many times the Jets have played those Pacific Division teams already early this year. Ezzy, you have some prizes to give away, or do you need a couple minutes to find your Tough Duck comments and your Bagelsmith bagels and everything along those lines?
I had it. Hold on. Let me just Give me a second here. I had it up.
Well, Okay. Well, you figure it out, Dave. What happened to the TV? I think the people want to know what happened to the TV.
Oh, I was resting my cell phone on it. May have turned the remote and turned it off by accident. I apologize. The fire has gone out.
Now it's cold in here. I know.
It's appropriate.
It's appropriate. The snow is coming.
Given everything. So let's hope it doesn't last. It's been beautiful, though. We can't really complain. Is this Brendan Lemieux's first game back in Winnipeg?
Scored tonight.
I know he scored for the Kings, but I'm trying to think if he's played since he was traded to the Rangers. I don't think he's played in Winnipeg.
Well, he would certainly didn't play here last year. That much right. I can tell you. And then you're saying the year before.
I don't remember him playing in Winnipeg.
Yeah. I'm not sure that he's going to get a video. You think there's going to be, a video for him?
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if there's a tribute for Brendan Lemieux.
I found the question, or pardon me, I found the comment here, guys.
Okay.
I just had to scroll back a little bit. It's from 10:19 p.m., Drew, so I'm not sure if you're able to go back that far. Obviously, you can if I can go back that far. It's from Rusty Old Things Restoration. The comment is, Dubois, Scheifele, Kopp, Lowry spread the minutes, best center depth in the league, and never used. I agree with him. I'd like to see, you know, Scheifele with Kopp and Ehlers, even though, you know, that kind of contradicts what he said, but I like Kopp on the wing. So Rusty Old Things Restoration, send me an email, ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we will send you a Tough Duck toque. And we are going to give the
coincidentally enough. I've also been called Rusty Old Thing on more than one occasion. So, yeah,
you just haven't been
very
restored.
Apropos. That's right. I haven't been restored.
Other than that, you're good.
They've given up. They say there's certain projects that there's just no chance. And restoring me to mid-season form is one of those.
And Drew, we're going to give the Bagelsmith six bagels to Nicole J. She's a frequent viewer, frequent listener, I guess, you know, same kind of thing. So Nicole, just send me an email.
Both listen and view on the show.
Absolutely. And we'll hook you up with some Bagelsmith bagels. Our friends, 185 Carlton Street. So just send me an email, ezra@illegalcurve.com. And you'll get some delicious bagels.
There you go. Bagels and toques. How can you go wrong with either of those with those great prizes, courtesy of some of our great sponsors here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show? Final thoughts from both of you gentlemen. Over to Kenny and Rennie whenever they begin the post game.
Yeah, Dave, I'll go ahead.
Dave. Hang on. Is there a moose minute? Is there a Manuk moose minute that I don't know about?
Well, actually, Drew, there is. Uno momento.
Yes, okay.
Before.
Settle in, everybody.
Gather around. Dave's about to tell a moose story.
No, I don't have a moose story technically yet, but Dylan Sandberg was in a regular practice jersey with the Jets.
And finally, so right, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. Coming off that high ankle sprain he suffered on day one of training camp. So he is expected to practice again with the team tomorrow. And I don't know this for a fact, but I mean, the Moose play tomorrow night in Milwaukee. He's not going to be there, but Moose also play two games in Grand Rapids this weekend. So it's possible that the Jets send him to Grand Rapids and he plays a couple of games this weekend with the Moose, which would be his first two games. So even though technically the Moose were just practicing in Milwaukee, we do have some Moose related news potentially for you.
There you go. That is a brief Manuk moose minute.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Yeah. But after Thursday's game, you'll have a recap of tomorrow night's Moose Admirals game. So Thursday's Moose Manuk minute the might be even 2 minutes long. Could be three minutes long.
Actually, well, technically, when was our last show? Our last show was Saturday. So really, I could do the Sunday game against Rockford if everybody wants that breakdown. But that was a Moose loss. They fell short. Good game, though. I tried to come back. Perfetti had some play. Villanueva did some things. Lots of things. Check out the notes on illegalcurve.com in the morning papers. I always have something in note two about the Manitoba Moose.
Well, there you go. Dave Manuk with tonight's Moose Manuk Minute. Ezzy, final thought from you tonight.
That's a scary thought. Get it? I just thought it was an entertaining game, aside from maybe the first period. But I love that type of hockey, and I love the way the Jets played. So, I mean, if that's any indication of you know what we're going to get here, and we talked about it. I mean, they were really good against you know Dallas, and they've been pretty good for the majority of this homestand here. So, I'm forgetting who the second game was against, Chicago. probably
everybody's trying to forget that game.
Well, probably because it was so one-sided. That's why I forgot it. But so far, I mean, it's been a successful homestand, even though the Jets have lost the last couple of games. But I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, barometer games, right, and the Jets having to prove, you know, that they're a good team against, you know, the quote unquote upper echelon teams, and St. Louis and the Islanders are upper echelon teams. They might not, you know, end up winning the Stanley Cup. But I think you guys would agree these are top 10 teams in the league, and the Jets controlled play for the majority of the game. So, you know, we've kind of sounded like a bit of a broken record, but sometimes, you know, the advanced stats don't lie. And, you know, the Jets really did deserve to win this game tonight. So I just like that type of hockey. You know, I'm looking forward to the game on Thursday night. And I am also looking forward to shoveling my backyard tomorrow.
As long as you got something to look forward to in life, isn't that the most important thing? We thank everybody for joining us on tonight's post-game show. Before you head out, a big thank you to all of our sponsors of Illegal Curve who make this show and our website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Bagelsmith, Boston Pizza, Seagram's. As you show off the Seagram shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, it's a nice little seat. You can see their little...
Yeah, Ezzy's got there. Some new formal wear, everybody.
Yeah, this is a Roots shirt, actually, with the Seagrams. Here, there you go. It's kind of hard to see up there.
Yeah, that's what everybody wanted to see.
Shout out to Seagrams for hooking us up, getting us all decked out here. I am going to now finish the second half of the Fireball bottle.
There you go. He's very responsible. He only drank half of a Fireball bottle for tonight's post game show. And our newest sponsor, you'll be seeing their ads probably come Thursday, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage. So support.
Can already see it on illegalcurve.com.
Yeah, there you go. It's already on illegalcurve.com. So you can always check out our website for more post-game, more post-game coverage. And of course, any breaking news or any news of the day regarding the Winnipeg Jets will be available on illegalcurve.com. On your way out tonight, if you haven't already done so, smash that like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way,
I think we're going to have to start calling it the Phyllis button, Drew.
Okay, subscribe to smash the Phyllis button and subscribe. Yeah, it doesn't work, Ezzy. I'm sorry. I tried it. It just doesn't work. It's smash the like button. Brought to you by Phyllis. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way you get alerted each and every time we go live. We'll be back Thursday night with the post-game show following the Jets and the Kings. So until Thursday night, for Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We wish you good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.